This is SB Nation Radio. Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's edition of Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour, as we focus on the greatest professional fishermen in the world, the men who make up the Bassmaster Elite Series, and those looking to get in that exclusive group to the Bass Pro Shops Open Series, and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops. Now, the best way to communicate with the show, if you'd like to post a picture or tell us a story or just communicate with the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/bassradio or on Twitter at @bass_nation and use the hashtag bassradio. You can also listen to all the shows at bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the home button there and click on Bassmaster Radio. This week, the Elite Series is at historic Toledo Bend, where Kevin Van Dam reemerged last year as if he were ever gone. And Chris Lane introduced us to the River to Sea Whopper Plopper with some of the greatest live tournament footage we have seen to date. We'll have a complete wrap-up of the tournament next week. But with the tournament a month earlier this year, bed fishing is in play, as it is all around the southern states, and how it'll be moving north in the next several weeks. So today we bring you a Technique of the Week segment with former Elite Series angler and Tennessee River guide Jimmy Mason. Speaking of Alabama, later in the show, Drew McNutt will join us with information on one of the biggest charity events in the country, the Captain D's Casting and Catching Tournament on Gunnersville Lake May 6th. Plus, Hank Weldon discusses the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series as well, coming off last week's Midwest Regional at Lake of the Ozarks. But first, this week's Technique of the Week with Jimmy Mason. Jimmy, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I am fantastic. And before we get into this week's Technique of the Week, you know, I mentioned that Hank Weldon is going to be on the show later on talking about the Carhartt College Series. And, you know, we just saw Jordan Lee win the Bassmaster Classic, a veteran of that series. And I got to believe that if that was around the way it is around now back in the day, that, you know, maybe Jimmy Mason would have gone that route, huh?
No doubt. I definitely, I kind of got mixed on it. You know, I definitely would have done it. But, I mean, you know, when I was in college, I studied a lot. You know, I've got a degree, an engineering degree, and I had to study a lot. It may have taken an extra year to get out of school, but I definitely would have been involved in it. It's really been cool to watch the college, fishing program grow. And those guys are really, really good when they come out of college. I mean, it gives them a lot of experience on different lakes. And it really is a jump start for a lot of them. And you know, Jordan's a great example. I've known Jordan probably since he was 15 and have known probably since, you know, that time period that he was that one in a million angler that would have the success he's had. And it's been cool to watch him and Matt and several of the others really develop through college.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this week's Technique of the Week. We are in that time where the spawn is on in many areas. In fact, I fished a tournament a couple of weeks ago on Gunnersville Lake, and the wind was blowing hard, and my partner and I decided to go way up. We had found some 62, 63-degree water, and we found a couple of behemoths, bedding and in clear water. And, you know, one of them hit right off the bat on the first drop, and she got off. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm going to say 9 pounds. And then another one moved in on the same. There were two beds side by each, and there were two that had to be 8 to 9 pounders in the same exact area where you could, you know, your rod could touch both of them at the same time. First of all, is that unusual? I mean, have you seen that before where big bedding fish would be that close to each other?
Yeah, a lot of times they'd be in clusters. I mean, you may go into a pocket or a creek and go a couple of hundred yards and not see a single fish on the bed, and then, you know, you get in the next 25 yards and there'd be three or four. So they definitely bed in clusters.
Yeah, and you know, we spent the next 2.5-3 hours trying to get the next strike. You couldn't move off these fish. These fish are winning fish. They would have won the tournament. But you know, just talk about that. If you're tournament angling, how much time will you spend on a big money fish? I mean, if you see fish like that, at what point in time do you abort? Because that was the toughest decision for us, is when do we leave these fish?
You know, every fish is different. And that's one of those things, just watching how a fish reacts to your, you know, to your baits. And if they stay pretty locked down, if they don't move very much, if they make really tight circles, you know, those are fish that are getting real close to being catchable. It's just a matter of cycling through different baits and until you find the bait, you know, that they'll want. A lot of times I'll use a white bait or, you know, a bait with a lot of motion to get them fired up and then, you know, make a quick change to, you know, a green pumpkin or a watermelon red. And once they get really, really hot and fired up, a lot of times you can fire them up with that bright color bait, but they won't bite it or won't commit to it. But you can get them fired up and then fire a more natural color bait in there on them and they'll bite it really quick. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a couple of tackle boxes that are, you know, that are stocked just for bed fishing with a mixture of different, you know, young baits, the woolly bugs, the beaver style baits, the mighty cross baits with a lot of action that have a lot of claw action, and baits that have practically none, you know, like a tube or a young dinger or a soft jerk bait. And you just want to cycle through. Some fish will react better to a bait with a lot of motion. Some fish react better to a bait with no motion. So it's just a matter of finding out what gets that fish fired up more. And a lot of times you can see on that very first cast you make with a different bait, they spin harder. Every fish is different. And that's what you have to remember. As long as they ever spin on a bed fish was in a Bassmaster Top 150 at Sandy Cooper, back in 2004, and I spent 3.5 hours on a 9-pounder, and I finally caught her.
Wow.
And that was a fish that's a lot of times there's a certain spot on the bed. That's the, you know, a lot of times it's the size of a dime, and once you find that spot too, the fish will react a little quicker.
Yeah.
And that fish was bedding next to a stump, but the sweet spot was on top of the stump next to it.
Mm.
Now, and my bait finally landed on top of the stump, and the fish went crazy. And I caught her the next cast.
Very cool. Now, we had drifted right directly over this, or kind of found it by mistake, had drifted right over it and stayed very close to the fish the whole time. In fact, the time I did hook her, which was on the first drop, was literally right below me. I mean, I might have had 6 feet of line out, and that was probably part of the problem in terms of getting there landed. Having said that, do you feel like you have to really move back off of them, or does it matter much? Because this was only 2.5 feet of water, and this fish didn't care that for the most part we were kind of hovering right near her and her sister, which was moving in and out of the same area.
Yeah, the best thing to do is be as far away as possible. A lot of times, you know, fish that just like you're talking about, that won't commit, a lot of times if you back off and a lot of times I'll even carry some little cut pieces of cane and put in the water behind the bed or, you know, close enough that I have a casting target. And I'll get so that I can't see the bed and cast at that, you know, piece of cane or whatever that I put in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And that just gives me a target. You know, that a lot of times you can catch them faster like that. Like if it's a multi-day tournament, you know, or if it's a tournament where I go out the day before looking for beds, you know, a lot of times I'll mark several like that and come back the next day on the tournament day and cast at the stakes before I ever get within sight of the bed.
Preco Pro Jimmy Mason with us. And
because
again,
if you can see them, mm-hmm. they can see you. And that's the deal. When you're casting from without being able to see the bed, you know, they don't know you're there, or they don't know quite as well that you're there yet. And some other things, it definitely don't, you know, I never wear a white shirt. Even if you're in a white boat, if you look at the way refraction is from the water, if you get in the water and look up, you know, at a guy in a boat, you won't be able to see it, the white boat, but you can see the color shirt or hat they're wearing. So I never wear a white shirt. A lot of times when I'm bed fishing, you know, I wear like a light blue or even some kind of camouflage, and never wear a bright colored hat. And, I mean, it's all about stealth. I mean, because if they can see you, if you can see them, they can see you.
Interesting stuff. All right. Finally, brim were moving in and out right above their heads. And I remember saying to my buddy at one point in time, how can we compete with that? They weren't reacting to the brim. So why would they react to our offering? Is there anything that would immediately make you say, you know what? This fish is not catchable, I got to go? Or is there any telltale sign that would indicate that to you?
You know, if they're, a lot of times they'll leave the bed and make big circles and not come back for a few minutes. And that's a fish that's going to be hard to catch. But if they're staying right around the bed, usually that's a fish that you can catch. And But the most important thing is just them reacting in some way to your bait. I mean, if you're popping your bait and they're spinning on it, if they're making any kind of movement with the bait, you can eventually catch those.
Jimmy, thanks, and I look forward to doing it again.
All right, thank you.
Coming up next, Drew McNutt joins us from Captain D's Casting and Catching charity event. We'll talk to Drew McNutt right after this. You're listening to Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. For tournament results, how-to articles and videos, or to become a member, visit Bassmaster.com. Now back to Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, and coming up, a very interesting event. There are a lot of charity events around the country, but this is one that really touched my heart because I'm a guy that's had a few heart issues in the past, and the Captain D's Cast-In and Catch-In Tournament is going to take place May 6th out of Goose Pond Colony on Gunnersville Lake. And joining us now to talk about that is Drew McNutt. Drew, welcome in. How are you?
Thanks, Tom. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am fantastic. And talk about this event a little bit, because I believe this is just the second year of the event, and you had a tremendous turnout in year one.
Right. It's the second annual Casting and Catching for CHD, which CHD stands for congenital heart disease. And last year, we had a very successful year. We had 189 boats in our tournament and raised a lot of money, and we are ready for year number two.
Now, just to give some background here, you have a healthy three-year-old son, Andrew, who will be 3 years old, in fact, in a couple of weeks. But it was touch and go for a while, and talk about the inspiration behind the tournament.
Yeah, Andrew will be three just a couple of days on May the 3rd before the actual tournament. And he was born with a congenital heart defect called truncus arteriosus, which is a very severe heart defect. And we have, you know, no knowledge of heart defects in our family. And so it was a shock, and it was an anomaly. And so, you know, we obviously it was touch and go. He had open heart surgery at 4 days old. Had some complications from that and was put on life support for 4 days. And so after the eighth day, the doctors made the decisions to put a stent in. And then after that point, you know, really he's continued to thrive since that point. So he's had two open heart surgeries so far. I've been in the cath lab five different times to explore and to put stents in. So he's doing well today. And you know, we credit the unbelievable staff at Children's Hospital of Alabama, the Pediatric Congenital Heart Center, the nurses, the doctors, the surgeons, everybody involved. It's a world-class facility, and obviously we credit God with the miracle that he's achieved here.
Yeah, and this is a great opportunity then to continue that awareness and raise money for the cause, Captain D's Casting and Catching Tournament. And not just for folks in North Alabama either. I would imagine that you've had people coming in from Tennessee and Georgia and other surrounding areas to take part in not only helping to raise money and awareness for a great cause, but also a fun tournament on one of the Great Lakes in all of the country.
Now, last year we had five different states that came and fished with us in and around the Southeast, and we are encouraging anybody through the United States to come fish with us. And this is not just a state of Alabama deal. You know, Children's of Alabama treats kids from multiple states in and around the Southeast and the country, and they're very specialized in what they do. And we just encourage you know, anybody that is interested in coming to beautiful Lake Gunnersville. It's early May. The shad spawn will be on. Mm-hmm. The fish will be hungry. It'll be a great time, and you know, a great payout, great event, and we're really looking forward to anybody that wants to come fish with us.
Drew McNutt with us here talking about a charity event coming up on Gunnersville. Now, in full disclosure, Drew, we have to let the listeners know that I will be fishing in the event with my partner. And I don't want that to be a deterrent, you know, for those who might want to come down. But they need to understand they're most likely fishing for second now. I know there's a lot of big sticks in this. We'll talk about some of the pros that'll be fishing in this event. But, you know, once you let me in the field, you know, it might hold the field down a little bit. People don't want to come and compete with me.
You know, Tom, I have heard you're an excellent fisherman, and I know that a lot of them may be a little discouraged with that. And but we really are really looking forward to it. And you know, if you've ever wanted to meet Randy Howell and never done it, mm-hmm. you're going to get your opportunity to do it. If you've never met 2007 Bassmaster Classic champion Boyd Duckett, you're going to get to do it. And of course, Randy in 14. Jordan Lee, the current Bassmaster uh-huh. Classic champion, a couple of weeks ago, fished it last year, and I'm hoping he'll come back and fish it with us this year. So, you know, go back to Randy and go back to Boyd. They have been incredibly, they have just been overwhelming how much they've done for our tournament. And Duckett Marine and Captain D's, obviously the guys that have been with us since last year and continue to be very supportive of us. You know, it's just there will be a lot of big time fishermen in this tournament from Lake Gunnersville, from, you know, we've had people sign up from Tennessee already, from South Alabama, from Georgia. So, you know, that, you know, there's going to be a lot of great fishermen at this event.
Great opportunity to fish against some of those guys, meet some of those guys. You can sign up online at www.castinandcatchin.org. And Bassmaster also one of the sponsors of this event as well. And Randy Howell, I know you're going to have a silent auction for a Fish with Randy Howell Day. Randy's been on the show a number of times, and I've been so inspired by Randy. I do another show that is called Field of Faith Radio, which is a show that airs in Florida on a Christian station and talks about, you know, the Christian testimony of folks in the sports world. And Randy has been on that show. That's how much we've had Randy on in the past. He's been on that show as well. He's a great, great guy, and folks can bid online, even if you're not in the tournament, right? You can bid online at castingandcatching.org.
That's right. You know, Randy and Robin Howell have been great friends of ours for a long time, even before Andrew was born. And of course, they walked through it step by step when Andrew was born. And, you know, along with our other families, you know, we have three other families that are involved with putting this tournament on, and all of their kids have congenital heart disease in any different form or type. And so, you know, for Randy to do that, to put up that, you know, last year the auction winners brought $3,100 to fish a day with Randy Howell on Lake Gunnersville, which is going to be coming up after the Toledo Bend event. They're going to do that, so it's going to be awesome. So that auction will be going live. If you've ever wanted a chance to fish with a Bassmaster Classic champion, this is by far the best way to do that. And so it'll be on our website there. The live auction will be taking place, and that will run all the way up to midnight on Friday, May the 5th. That's when the auction will be cut off, and then we'll announce the winners on the tournament day, Saturday, May the 6th.
And I understand that Boyd Duckett and Randy Howell will be on the stage handling the weigh-in as well. So everybody who comes through and weighs will get a chance to shake their hand as well.
And they also get to walk across Bassmaster stage. You know, that was something last year that most people really took away with them. They get to come walk across the same stage these guys do in their elite tournament. They get to be weighed in by Randy Howell, two Bassmaster Classic champions, Boyd Duckett. And they get the experience that normally, you know, the average tournament does not get. And that just shows you the testament of Bassmaster, of my uncle, CEO Bruce Aiken. And they have just been over backwards, and a lot of people have made this event to what it is, and we're so excited for it coming up in about a month.
Yeah, they have a dinner coming up on Friday, May the 5th, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock for the angler meeting and dinner, and then the tournament on Saturday, May 6th. Again, you can go to www.catchinandcastin.org, and it's spelled Southern, all right? It's catching, there's no G's, and it's just catchinandcatchin.org, and you can get signed up, and hopefully we'll see you there at that event. Drew, I appreciate you so much. I love being involved with this deal, and I'm looking forward to May 6th.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for everything you do. Thanks for having us, and we're looking forward to seeing you and everybody on Saturday, May the 6th.
All right, thank you. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about the Carhartt College Series. Hank Weldon joins us right after this. You're listening to Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. Watch Bassmaster live at Bassmaster.com and on ESPN3 during every Elite Series event. Now back to Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. I am Tom Abraham. And, you know, folks, especially in the Southeast, huge fans of anything college. You put a couple of colleges together playing tiddlywinks, and they're going to get excited about it. Well, certainly with the explosion of college fishing, I thought, you know what, let's take a moment and talk to the man that is responsible for the Carhartt College Series with Bassmaster, and that, of course, is Hank Weldon. Hank, welcome in. How are you?
Tom, I'm doing good. I appreciate you having me on. Doing great.
All right. Let's talk. First of all, by the way, let's clear something up. Trip Weldon's son, which makes you an Alabama fan by birth. Is that right?
Absolutely. Actually, I went to school there, so his money was spent right going to school there. But yes, I definitely bleed crimson and white.
I had to laugh a little bit just thinking about Tripp weighing in Steve Kennedy and Jordan Lee to end the classic there 1-2, and just thinking that he was like throwing up a little bit in his mouth as he was doing it.
Well, you know what's funny is a lot of people don't know this, but his wife, my mother, is an Auburn fan.
Oh,
so you know, even in our own household, there's some rivalry that exists.
You don't have one of those license plates, do you? The house divided thing with the half Auburn and half Alabama license plate?
No, we don't. I think my mom might be a little too scared to do that.
All right, let's talk a little bit about college fishing. I mean, a lot of people don't even know that this exists, but let's talk about it and explain. I know there's five conferences. Explain the conferences and how we get to a national champion.
Sure. Yeah. So stay with me here. It's simple but complicated a little bit. We have five conference regionals that span the whole entire United States: a Southern, a Central, a Western, a Midwestern, and an Eastern. Within those conferences, Bass will go into those areas and run 1 3-day tournament. Okay. And all the schools are bound within those conference regionals. You can't go, if you don't make it in the Southern, you can't go to the Central and qualify there. You have to qualify for the national championship through your conference regional. And the way it works is a 3-day tournament. At the end of the 3 days, we essentially take the top 10% of the field from each region. And those are the teams that qualify to the national championship. The one unique thing we do have is you do have two chances to get to the national championship. If you don't qualify at your conference regional, we have one season-ending event called the wild card, and that's to serve as the last chance for the teams who did not make it via their conference regional. They can all go to the wild card, which is a multi-regional tournament, usually our biggest of the year because it encompasses all of the five conferences. And that's their last chance to make it to that national championship. And then the championship in the summertime, we'll another 3-day tournament. We'll have it in late August. We haven't, or early August, excuse me. We haven't announced that yet, but we're close to announcing that. And that's a 3-day tournament where at the end of that, we will crown a national champion team. The key there is the team. For example, Kansas State, they're our reigning national champions, Taylor Bivens and Kyle Alsop. They won it last year in July. But then, like the past, people are familiar with how Jordan Lee came through and qualified for the Elite Series. We have a classic bracket. So the top four boats or four places from the national championship should be eight anglers are retained after that national championship tournament. And then they are, keeping with the college theme, they are individualized, placed into an eight-seeded bracket, and they go head-to-head. Through the course of three rounds, where at the end we have an angler versus an angler vying for that one Bassmaster Classic berth that is selected through the college series. This year it was Bethel University's John Garrett who won that. Jordan Lee has won that in the past. Brett Pruitt, also an Elite Series angler. Matt Lee has won that in the past. Trevor Lowe and Andrew Upshaw. Those are all our anglers who have represented the college series in the classic. So that, in a nutshell, is how the college series works.
Hank Weldon, our guest from the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series. And Bethel College, I think a lot of people may or may not know, I think was the first school to begin offering scholarships for fishermen in a program that I'm a little bit familiar with. And this has really grown where there are guys fishing at a lot of universities now on scholarship.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. You know, like just last week at our Midwestern regional, McKendree University. They've been close a few other times, but yes, all those anglers are on scholarships, mm-hmm. and they won that regional. And then they also, pretty cool thing, we had our high school Midwest Open last weekend at Lake of the Ozarks also, and the winning high school team was offered a scholarship to attend McKendree University. So we are starting to there. We think, based on our research, there's about 15 schools out there now who are offering kids to attend, and they're, you know, offering scholarships for them to join their team that is on the varsity level at that university.
Now, is there a limit as to how many teams a school can put in a conference? Let's say in the South, for example, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, whatever. Are those schools allowed to put multiple teams in?
Right. Yeah, they can. That's kind of the luxury of having a big team. You can. We will, as long as, you know, they're within the conference boundaries, mm-hmm. they can send as many teams as they want. Auburn has a huge team. They usually field about 13 to 15 boats in a conference regional. So, I mean, yeah, it's blowing up. We continue to cite at least one tournament per season record fields, and we've already done that twice this year, and I think we'll do it again at the Eastern coming up in early May on Cherokee Lake.
Is that something that you could see changing down the road as more and more schools are fielding teams, that maybe there'll be a limit placed on the number of teams from a particular school?
The only way we would start seeing that is we kind of, and I don't want to speak for Chris Bowes, but, you know, a AAA, you know, the Opens, Bass Pro Shops, Bassmaster Opens, those are usually 200 boat fields, and it's usually 400 bags of fish, because you've got a co-angler and a boater, you know, who each catch their own bags and weigh them in. That's the one thing about a college. So if you're looking at a 400 boat field, you're looking at 400 bags of fish, because each team brings in only one 5-fish right. limit is typically what we have. So to answer your question, I mean, if we start getting over 400, then yes, we may have to start looking at that. But right now, you know, we held the largest to date college fishing tournament across any series last year at Lake Martin with 214 boats. Mm-hmm. That's since then been broken, but I think we stand a good chance to break that record again in late May. But we got a long ways to go to get to that 400 mark, especially with us spreading it out across the nation and giving teams multiple or, you know, different options to fish. I don't think we're there, and when, you know, hopefully we get there one point where we have to start talking about limiting the field, but I think we're a good ways off before we get into those discussions.
Hank Weldon with us from the Carhartt College Series. Now, I would imagine that Jordan Lee's win was a proud moment for everybody associated with the College Series, because this is kind of like the fruition, a guy who's just a few years out now of the College Series to win a national or to win the Bassmaster Classic, you know, the World Series of fishing, if you will, the Super Bowl of fishing, if you will.
Right.
For that to happen so quickly, I think is something that is a feather in the cap to the college program.
You know, it is, and I was actually talking with one of our colleagues earlier today, and as young as Jordan Lee is in terms of numbers, I think he's, 25 years old.
Right.
He's still – one thing I like to credit our college series to is he's still an experienced angler when you really start looking at it. You know, he had 4 years he cut at the college series, then he went – it only took him 1 year at the Open to punch his ticket to the Elite Series, and then he wins his third Classic that he fishes in. But – What I look at is, he was already at the College Series. He was fishing multi-day tournaments on diverse lakes, different lakes. You know, he competed in North Georgia and Alabama and Florida and Michigan. You know, we sent him all over, and he definitely took advantage of those lakes. And
this is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
Welcome back. Final segment of Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. Joining me now, Scott Morris. Scott, welcome back. How are you, man?
I'm great, Tom. Good to be with you.
A couple of things to touch on. First of all, of course, the boys are on Toledo Bend as we speak, and it is just a massive body of water. I don't think people realize just how big it is. It's the fifth largest man-made lake in America. And, you know, it has created – we're so spoiled. We talked to Mike McGinnis about this last week, but we've gotten so spoiled in the live coverage and the Bass Track coverage, and we don't realize sometimes that the technology is cell phone technology, and you get a massive piece of water out like that. There's not, like, cell phone towers out in the middle of the lake So, you know, some people were surprised that Randy Howell, for example, his first fish of the tournament was a 6-pounder, and it took a while for it to show up on Bass Track because, you know, they just can't get the technology, isn't there to get the information back as quickly as possible. We have to, as viewers and fans, we have to just kind of slow down a little bit and let this technology catch up with our interest.
Well, you know, it's good and bad. The person that invents, and there's probably something out there, the person that can market a type of communication device, antenna, as you would say, and it would mount like a little puck, like a Loran would do to your boat, like a little puck antenna, tower antenna that would go in your boat, and that signal connection, that's probably coming down the road.
Yeah.
The bad thing about that is it kills the suspense of the weigh-in. You know, so there is a give and take, but I'm like you. I want to see it live, and I want to see it now.
Yeah, yeah, and there were some big fish to open the tournament. I mean, there were 8-pounders caught by Jason Christie and Shaw Grigsby. Grigsby with an 8-8 early on in the first couple of hours of the tournament. Big females on spawning beds, and you know, it was one of the topics today in our Technique of the Week with Jimmy Mason. We talked about fishing those spawning beds, and it can be so frustrating. And, of course, you and I fished a tournament recently, and we saw some spawning fish, but you see the bucks up there and so on. And just talk about some of your favorite techniques to try and get a fish to turn when you're sight fishing them.
Well, it depends on what we call the mood of the fish. When you have a fish that's really locked on the bed, the fish is not going to move much. And those are the fish that I really like to target. When you have a fish also that you have a lot of brim that are up in that area and the little brim comes up and that fish chases that brim off, those are also the easier fish to catch. And it just depends also, Tom, on what type of lake you're fishing. The clearer the water, the more stealthier you have to be. Sometimes the lighter the line you have to use. The dingier the water where you can barely see him, where you see a little flash, you can kind of get right up on them. Bait that I like to use, I love fishing a Wacky Rig Cinco, mm-hmm. or anything that looks like a brim. A brim imitation bait is fantastic. Back in the day, years ago, we used to take the old Bagley small fry brim and whack them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anything that looks like a predator, and I was reading recently where Porosnik was saying that he melted some bait together to look like a turtle. Anything that eats those bass eggs is what you want to fish. So yeah. Be really stealthy, light line. If it's clear water, get away with a little bit heavier line. If it's murkier water, and be extremely quiet. And finally, you got to know they're there.
Yeah.
Confidence is key. You got to know they're there. The more confidence you have, the better chance you have to catch them.
That was one of the interesting things Jimmy said about he would mark the bed with you know, something. It could be a piece of stalk or something like that. He'd mark it, and then he'd back way off and almost fish blind to the bed, knowing that the fish is there, but he wanted to be as stealthy as possible. He talked about wearing, you know, powder blue shirts or some sort of camouflage that, you know, if you can see the fish can see you type of mentality. So I thought that was very interesting as well. Another thing we got into today, and something you have been harping on for years with me, and as long as we've been doing Bass Fishing Radio, is we had Hank Weldon on talking just recently here about the Carhartt College Series and the high school series. They have some huge events. It is just absolutely exploding. And, you know, to have Jordan Lee 3 years removed from the college series as a national champion to go out and win the Bassmaster Classic is really going to be a shot in the arm. This is the story, I think, tournament-wise, over the next few years, the college and high school series.
Absolutely. It puts everything together. It puts the plan, the vision, everything that Bass had as far as developing a high school program, help developing the college program. It all adds up, and then you have a Bassmaster Classic champion. What I would say to listeners or anyone that is city liaisons or in the city government next to lakes, if you have a high school that's near a lake, you need to get with that high school principal, figure out if you have a bass club. Some of these guys don't even know they have bass clubs, and develop the local infrastructure to produce small tournaments. It will gradually grow into bigger tournaments. You know this, Tom. That's one of my number one pet peeves are cities that are on lakes that do nothing to promote bass fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a concrete plan. Now we have a proven plan of where you had a person who came up through the ranks, high school, college, and now won the Super Bowl of all. And that's a Bassmasters Classic. So that little thing right there can produce a huge benefit for all of the city, all the county, state economic impact exploding.
Yeah, absolutely.
They would just get off their tail and promote it and do it.
No question about it. Scott Morris has been our guest. Scott, next week we'll wrap up Toledo Bend. Until then, be safe out there.
All right, Tom. Thanks, buddy.
All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of Bassmaster Radio. Until next time, make sure you keep those lines tight and those nets heavy. This has been Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network.